Good afternoon and welcome to today's Web Blast. I'm Kate Penn, CEO of the Society of American Florists. And today our topic is HR strategies for navigating a crisis. And it's going to be led by Glenna Hecht, founder of Humanistic Consulting. We're really glad that you've taken the time to join us today during what is an unprecedented time for our industry and our country and really our entire world. We've been at SAF, we've been spending the last couple of weeks on and off in constant communication with our volunteer leaders and our members and our resources in Washington, D.C., trying to help our industry adapt to and prepare for what's going on right now and how things will evolve in the coming weeks and months. We know that everyone in the industry is really working to come up with strategies and best practices. And so this webinar series that we've developed is really taking that information and funneling it to you as conveniently and efficiently as possible. We want to provide a platform where it makes it really easy to share information. So with that, keep tuning into these webinars or simply visiting our website if you can't make the webinars, and you can watch the recorded sessions. We're also posting a lot of new content to our website with resources as well. This week alone, we've done, we had a webinar on just general best practices. We had a financial planning webinar yesterday, and of course today we're covering HR. I know this topic is going to continue to come up. So far, next week and the next coming weeks, we've got some webinars you can look forward to, giving an update on the supply side of the industry, what's happening with fresh product in particular. We're going to do that on Monday. We're also developing a webinar on event strategies, taking time also when there's a little more downtime to take advantage of training our staff. That just gives you an idea of some of the topics that we're looking at moving forward. And we really want this information to get out to the whole industry. So that's why we are opening these webinars to not only SAF members, but non-members as well. So please share them with the industry, because if we can all continue moving forward and staying, keeping our businesses strong, then everybody wins. So, okay, with that, before we begin today's session, just a couple of reminders. Everyone's going to be muted during the web blast, but we definitely want to hear questions. So if you wish to ask a question, just click on that question tab and type in your question, and they'll be answered at the end of the session. Laura Weaver will be checking out questions as you post them and compiling them and consolidating them. And at the end of the session, Glenna will answer all the questions. If you didn't get a chance to ask a question during the call, please just jump on SAF's website. And as you know, if you've been there, you know we have the live chat feature, and you can just post your question to live chat and we'll make sure you get a question. So now on to today's web blast, I'm going to turn it over to Glenna.
Kate, thank you. And to everybody, thank you for taking the time to be with me today. I know many of you and have had the opportunity to speak with you during this situation. And for those of you that I do not know or have not had the opportunity to chat with, I hope you find this really very, very helpful, as it's such important information. If we were to just look at the title slide, I think that there's one phrase here that I would share, and you'll see that I weave this throughout our entire conversation. And rather than the phrase HR strategies, though some of this will talk about that, it really is about people strategies. This is a time, as we all know, when we've got to get close to each other and we have to help each other, as everyone is going through similar challenges. And so how do we relate to individuals as individuals, but certainly to look at them as the group in total? So here's a little bit about what we're going to talk about. We're going to discuss the current state, some positives, and obviously the negatives around it. What you need to know from a standpoint of leadership presence. I've seen some individuals handle it extraordinarily well. I've seen some that could have perhaps been more effective, and wanted to share with you some of that. We're going to talk about communications, certainly change strategies, some of the options that you might have. I have my own philosophy called the three lists, which I'll give you some information about, resources that might be available to you, and then your questions. So to start, here's the good news, and that is that we're all in the same place. You can't obviously turn on the TV, look at the internet, look at your phone without hearing about the coronavirus, what's happening in the market, some of the downsizing, the state's decisions to do certain things, the legal issues, all of the unpleasantness. So there's no surprises. We've had crises before, and sometimes you feel as though you're the only one that's dealing with it. And so you have to really craft very carefully when you're in those situations, how do you approach your employees? The reality here is that everybody is going through the same thing. And you may feel that it looks more like this, that you're the captain on that boat and you're going head first into the storm, not necessarily knowing what's on the other side of that cloud. Well, your employees are in exactly the same place. And so one of the things here that certainly you have to know and understand, and we all do, is that people are being changed, people are being downsized, schedules are being changed, businesses are having to do things they never did before, and you're not the only one. So when you sit down and have conversations with people, there really is less surprise. It doesn't mean that there's less sadness, that there's less personal impact, but they certainly do expect that things may be coming because of it. And as a result, the most important understanding that's here is that right now, this is where we all are. People are afraid. We're afraid for our health, we're afraid for our well-being, our business, our financials. And so I think I know I feel that, I'm sure everybody on the phone does, as well as the people that are on your team. So one of the guidelines that I would share with you, and I think this is the most important thing to say to you, is if you were talking to you about your life, you would want somebody to be direct, you would want somebody to be compassionate, and you would want somebody to give you information in a manner that treats your money, your job, your family, and your future with a level of respect. I've had some scenarios over the last week where business leaders have tried to soften the blow, and people have said, I know what's coming. I know what we're facing. Just deal with me straight up and give me an opportunity to hear the news and then go home and deal with it as I need to deal with it. So what I would say is we're all in the same boat, and we all need to understand that the leader presence is really what's going to make a difference. So let's talk about what I mean by leader presence. So if you were to take a look at four characteristics that you need to adopt and adapt as you're talking to the people that are on your team, these are the ones that I chose. And I love the graphic to the right, because if you look at it, not only is it made up of different words, but there are two faces that are looking at each other. Actually, there's four faces looking at each other and really talking about being open and inviting and reflecting and trusting. But the four words that I picked out here, and I'll share with you what they are and why I selected them. The first one is vulnerable. And that is, nobody knows, you know, from day to day or hour to hour or moment to moment, we may not know exactly what's happening next. And I've had scenarios where people have made announcements to their team at 12 o'clock, and then at 3 o'clock, they had to say something new came up. So part of the level of vulnerability is sharing with your team that you're giving them as much information as you know, and that we're all trying to deal with this as it comes to us to the best of our ability. So the level of vulnerability that you share is obviously leading to the next point, which is being honest and obviously being direct and straight up, but certainly being compassionate. One of the things that we want to ensure people understand is that we have their best interests at heart, but also that you can't do what you can't do. And so in being honest and direct and compassionate is really sharing the fact that the business is having to go through a metamorphosis, and that's the best way to describe it. Dealing with what you may have to do to keep open, whether you're doing business or not. So depending on the industry, there are a lot of industries, unfortunately, that have had to close their doors, like the restaurant industry, and literally sit and wait. And so part of that is, what's the change that we're going to go through to help us prepare for a future, even though we know it may not be the future that we initially anticipated a couple of weeks ago. So as we go on from the presence of the leader, let's talk a little bit about communications. So I think the most significant word here to really think about and use is the word consistency. And at a time when people are afraid, they tend to read something into everything, whether you intend it or not. And so consistency is very important when you think about, how am I going to talk to them, and when am I going to talk to them, and who is going to talk to them? So as best you can, time of day may be significant. And so you might choose to have some type of communication with the team every day at 9 or at 3 in the afternoon or both. You may choose to do that every day, every other day, depending on the nature of the communication. The same person needs to be communicating. And let me give you an example of what I mean by that. Let's say one day the CEO makes an announcement about what's happening in the business, but 2 days later, the CEO doesn't make an announcement and someone else does. Chances are your team is going to be saying, why is he not doing this? Is something going on? Is he avoiding telling me something? And it may simply be that the CEO is in a meeting, but I didn't know that. And so I'm starting to conjure and create and think about things that may not be real. So to the best of your ability, if you know that you're going to be having a meeting and then let's say the next day someone else is, announce that as part of what you'll hear I say, the outro, when you do your meeting. Can't be with you tomorrow, so Kate's going to be doing this in my place. And so it gives people a level of continuity and consistency. The form of communication is very important. It could be a meeting, it could be an email, it could be a telephone call. I have some clients that are using their payroll system to blast information out to their employees at a consistent time every single day. I have some that are doing conference calls such as this, where people can call into a line and perhaps ask questions if they need to. So whatever your form of communication, again, consistency is important. The intro is very important. And so the intro is always something like, as of this morning, this is what we know and what we're going to be doing. And that way then, when you're having that communication and that message, the outro starts to make sense, which is, if anything changes between today and our next meeting tomorrow, I will certainly let you know. So a great example of that is, I had a company I was working with in Dallas that said, we're going to remain open on a much more abbreviated schedule. And they had that meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the city of Dallas basically shut them down until April the 29th, when every single restaurant is going to be shut down. So their message in the morning was true and honest, and their message in the afternoon was true and honest. And so they used the intro and the outro, and that way people went, okay, we're just being kept informed in a timely basis. The most important thing to remember is the one that's on the bottom, which is same message to large group. So for example, if you know that you have a part of your business that's going to have to go on abbreviated schedules, you can share that with the group in total. But if you know that out of most of the people in your organization that you may have to abbreviate schedules or downsize 8, 9, 10 people, you may choose to have a group meeting about some things and then individual meetings about others. And so you always want to make sure that you are, again, taking into consideration people's reaction to what they hear that may be fearful for them. So there may be folks that start to cry. There may be people that get angry. There may be people that tell you about illnesses in their family. And again, obviously the respect to be able to give you that information in private if it's appropriate. So let's move on from communications to your change strategies. So I want you to imagine that you had kept really good notes in 2008 and 2009, and you had your crisis recession binder, and it was on your bookshelf, and you looked at it every once in a while, but thank heavens over the last 10 years, it's been catching a lot of dust. So you really didn't pay attention to it until now. And now you may look at it and say, oh yeah, those are the things that I remembered that I did back then. And they're great memory jogs of what I might be doing now. So what I would encourage you to do is to think of this situation with two lenses in mind. And then we're going to talk about what I call the three lists in just a moment. And that is, one of the lenses is your to-do list, which is, what do I do today? What do I do this week? What do I do, you know, over the next couple of weeks? And that could be everything from talk to this person, call this, talk to this supplier, etc. You know, think of my delivery this way. And so it's really very much of your, you know, top-down to-do list. People are writing these down a lot right now, and they're saying, why do I have to be so, you know, micromanaging and methodical about this? It's because when emotions get in the way, I forget things. And so I have long lists right now of what I have to make sure I do over the next day and week, just so that I don't miss anything in the crunch of what's going on. But at the same time, while I'm looking under the microscope, I have to fly up to 10,000 feet and look at it strategically and say, okay, what am I going to do in a year? And what am I going to do between microscope and a year? So 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year. What I mean by that is, you know, the business is going to come back, and it could be very quick. Some of it could be more aggressive than others, but at the end of the day, you need to be prepared for that 10,000 foot view. So when making the decisions about what's right for your business, you have to make them with these two different lenses, knowing that if it comes back and everybody's business comes back at the same time, hiring is going to be, again, a big deal. And so you want to make sure that you're really thinking about, what do I do today? And then what implications of doing today will carry me forward as to what I need to do tomorrow. So having said that, let's talk about what some of the strategies might be. So the next step, and I'm sure you have all thought of all of these over the course of the last week, but just to do a memory jog, or if in the event that you haven't, here may be some new things for you to consider. One is that you may have to think about a change in how you do business. So perhaps you're now doing more delivery, or you're delivering and you're leaving arrangements at the door versus putting them in people's hands. Maybe you're doing hospital deliveries different than you did before. People aren't coming into your retail shop. you're having to identify pieces of a wholesale business that may not make sense right now. How do I change those? There are a lot of people that I know that have said for years, I'm not going to do a drive-up or delivery business. It's just not who I am. And now they're doing drive-up and delivery. So they've had to change the way that they're doing their business in order to survive and hopefully to thrive in the future. Eliminating a part of the business. So I was speaking with an individual yesterday who is a floral client of mine and saying that, you know, we're going to have to maintain certain parts of our business, but another part of our business we're going to have to eliminate for now because people aren't coming into our shop. And so what do we do to manage that and how do we handle that part of it? And so some things may continue to go and some other things may be eliminated for the short term. Certainly, I know you spoke when you were talking about your financial perspective yesterday about modifying hours and schedules. And again, this is no surprise. People are thankful to have some opportunity to be able to do work. And so modifying it might be a more part-time schedule that they've had or 3 days a week if they're going to actually be working in your location. Delivery may be obviously a much more compressed time frame as well. So people are expecting this. It's happening everywhere and certainly is something that is very understandable. The next one is something that you may have read a lot about. Marriott was furloughing 300,000 individuals. And I've received a lot of calls saying, you know, what is that? Well, furloughing is basically a temporary leave. But typically, when you're furloughing an individual, they're not receiving any compensation. But if they have benefits, you're maintaining the benefits and paying for them. In an industry where people may not be receiving benefits, furlough doesn't really benefit the employee at all. And so it may keep them tied to you in the future, but they have no income coming in. So in those instances where you've got people on your team that you want to maintain and have benefits, furlough may be the appropriate approach. Or a downsizing would be the way to go. And that obviously gives people an opportunity to go and gain unemployment through their state unemployment office. One of the things that we'll talk about later under resources, but you certainly do want to make a note of, if you are downsizing a number of people, most of the states are now allowing for what they call mass layoffs, where you can communicate to the state a number of people simultaneously so that they are A, expecting them, but also not having to reach out to you every time somebody comes in. And it makes the process much more abbreviated and efficient on all sides. The next one is consider opportunities. And this sounds a little cryptic, and when I give you an explanation, you will know exactly why it is a little cryptic. And that is, you may have people that are on your team who have been filling a role, but really are a little ornery. And there are people that you've said, you know, they may be good at what they do, but they're just not the most pleasant person to work around. So had a conversation with a recent client, and they said, you know, we're getting limited telephone calls, and we could basically parcel those out amongst people. And the person that does that for our company is a little challenging. And so we discussed maybe now is the opportunity to look at that as a potential downsizing, and that you can certainly hire somebody in the future if you need that role and look for an individual who better supports your team and matches the culture. So you may have some opportunities that you've been dragging your feet on or worried about the ramifications or what's going to happen, and now may be a consideration for that. However, and here's the next one, that is, what are the implications of that? So if this person is the oldest person on your team, or this person falls into a certain racial or ethnic group, this may pose challenges. So I recently had a conversation with a client that had said, I want to furlough all of the people that have to stay at home with children because they would be really working a part-time at-home schedule and we don't have that. And I said, be very careful, because all of the people that were in this office that fell in that group were all females. They all looked alike and they all came from the same age group, and that could pose some problems in terms of ramifications of the actions that are there from a legal standpoint. So though you want to look at opportunities, you also want to consider what those implications might be. Then you've got to think about the difficulty in recruiting in the future. So for example, we all know how difficult it is to find designers. And once you get great designers, you all have said for years, you hold on to them and you try everything that you possibly can to create an environment where they are wanting to stay and to be a part of for a very long period of time. So even though your design may be down, you know, at some point that's going to come back. And so you really want to think about, if I have positions that are difficult to fill and I go out and get somebody new, it could take me 60 to 90 days to get them up to speed. Do I really have that time once we start getting velocity? So consider that as well. And then really what's important is talk to your support network. Your support network would be your peers, people that are going through the same thing that you are, folks at SAF. But one of the things that I also recommend, I've had a lot of conversations with individuals who said to me, it's good to talk to somebody who's not emotionally invested in the business the way that we are, because you can get me thinking a different way or see where I may not be seeing something the way that I should be seeing it. So I always recommend that you talk to a few different people that are there. Here's the three lists. The first list, and truly do keep three. The first list is my to-do list. What do I need to do today, tomorrow, now? And, you know, that could be everything from change delivery, how do I do service training, different messages on my phone, whatever that might be. How do you do website blasts? Are there things that you put in your store that are different? How do you communicate with customers, etc.? That's your number one list. Your number two list, what would be, what do we need to develop or fine-tune in the future? So let me give you an example of this. Let's say that you've been forced into doing something in your business and you didn't really know how to do it. Well, you're doing the best you can. And you may not have the opportunity while you're flying the plane to glue the wings on it. But when things start to get on the other side of Corona and we look like we're getting back into the swing of it, you may say, now it's a time for me to put really refined policies and processes in place for that thing that I just did by the seat of my pants. One great example is work at home. A lot of companies didn't have work at home policies, and now all of a sudden their team is working at home. But they don't know how to do that. They don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to handle work comp. They don't know how to handle checking in and goal setting. They don't know, you know, what to do if there are kids and dogs at home. And so those are the kinds of policies that may be fine-tuned after this is over to prepare for the next time or ongoing use of that policy. The third one is the most important, and that is people and their response. When folks are in fear, their true colors come out. So a couple of days ago, one of my clients called me and said, I am bringing my whole team together and we're going to announce that we're having an abbreviated schedule. So instead of people working full time, they're going to be working part time. And so we talked through how that was going to occur. And this CEO said, I'm going to have people do some things around the business right now that we need to take care of, whether it's cleaning or organizing or structuring or whatever the case may be. He said, because I really am wanting to give them hours so that they have some pay coming in today, tomorrow, and the next day. So 3 days where they've got some income. Great idea, very generous. So he stood up in front of a group of many people and gave that talk. And when he was finished, half of the people went and put on their cleaning clothes and they grabbed their buckets and started to mop. And the other half of the group went outside and had a cigarette. And his comment afterwards was, I saw the people that were in the boat with me and I saw the people that maybe weren't. And I'm going to have to consider that in the future. So what I would say to you is people will have differing responses that may be with you and against you or contrary, and you certainly want to pay attention to that as that tells you how they respond to change. So resources that you can use, certainly every state has a workforce commission, which is part of the unemployment. You can do research there. Legal updates, I know many of you work with attorneys and they've got some great resources. I know SAF has unbelievable resources, not only for these webinars that we've been doing, but for Q&A down the road. And also, you know, talk to professionals, HR professionals, people that are in your network, in your area. Reach out to them. Can I bounce something off of you? This is what I'm considering. And we're looking with obviously a very different lens than you may be. So we're going to talk about your questions, but first off, whoops, if I can get back to this. To receive a copy, I do a newsletter. And if you want to email me or call me, my contact information is here. But also what I am posting on LinkedIn is anytime I get any legal information about what's going on in the States, I'm posting it there as quickly as I can. So obviously change just happened in New York. I'll put that up as soon as we're finished with the call. And so feel free very much to reach out to me as well. And now let me ask you about your burning questions. So I'll turn it over to Laura.
Okay, thanks Gleda for that great information.
Thank
so
you.
I've got a few questions that have come in during your presentation. The first one is, if an employee is furloughed or downsized, do they have to be rehired when the time comes to fill that position?
Excellent question. So if they're downsized, the answer to that is no, you're terminating them. And if you are hiring for the same position, the question might be why you wouldn't want to hire them. So you don't have to, but you need to be prepared to answer the why. If you are furloughing them, you're not terminating them because you're in essence maintaining their benefits. So they're still an employee. And so, yes, once the business comes back to more normal, you would start them with their typical hours and their job duties and the things that they did before you furloughed them.
Okay. The next question is, she had said, unfortunately, I had to lay off all my employees yesterday. Do you know if we as owners can collect unemployment? And do you know of a good resource where I can find out this information? She's in New York State, by the way.
I don't. The only thing I can think is that you go to New York State Unemployment. I can share with you that as a business owner myself, I pay myself a salary. And so I have my own unemployment. I have my own unemployment rate. And if I were to, quote unquote, lay myself off or to not have that income coming in, I can go in the state of Texas and file for unemployment. So I think in essence, what you're saying is for now, the business is ceasing and desisting, if you will, or it's going down significantly and you have a gap in your pay. And so I would say call the New York Workforce Commission and certainly ask them that. But I know that I could do that in Texas, for example.
Okay. Someone's asking, is it better to lay off versus reduce hours?
I think it depends on the business, and it depends on what the position is in the business. So for example, if you were talking designers, I would certainly say reduce hours versus lay off, because you know they're so hard to find. If you're talking about a retail operation that you know may have virtually no customers, then I think a layoff may make sense. And that would be more appropriate. So it's really going to depend on what the position is, how difficult it is to fill going forward. And, you know, are these people that you say to yourself, are they key employees? If my business hadn't changed at all, would I want them to be with me? If the answer to that is yes, you have the question, the answer to the question. If the answer to that is sort of or no, you have the answer to the question.
Okay. This next question is, have you had any of your clients talk to their staff about how to social distance or act outside of work? We feel like we are doing a good job at the workplace, but if they leave work and hang out with friends, they are putting everyone at risk. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I feel for you, because I've been watching on the internet all of the college students going for spring break and hanging on the beach. I do have some clients that have been a bit more strict, and I'll share it that way, where people have said, I'm going on vacation, and they basically asked them where they were going. And if they were going to areas like Disney World, for example, they were forcing them to self-contain when they came back. If it's me going out at night with my friends, there's not a lot that you can do about that other than just to say to people, please be careful, because anybody you come in contact with is coming in contact in our organization. I would certainly, and I'm sure all of you are, having people, you know, wash their hands repeatedly and wear gloves and making available masks if they need them. But in terms of prohibiting their social interaction outside of work, it's a little bit more difficult to do.
Okay. The next person is asking, can you share what you know about HR 6201?
I can, just from top line. I really would prefer to tell you to read it and then we can go through it together. But that's really about the extended sick leave and the FMLA for businesses that haven't previously qualified based on the size of the business. So that doesn't go into effect, quote unquote, officially until the early part of April. And really what it's doing is providing sick benefits for those people that actually are ill. And it is there is a financial implication to it, obviously, for the business, but you can qualify for payroll tax offsets. And then the FEMLA, as I refer to it, FMLA, is really for individuals who are taking care of themselves if they're ill, or a family member, or if they have to stay home with children who are not going to school. And then the FMLA has certain stipulations relative to pay for the first 7 days and then what happens after that. And so I have not seen any specific forms that an employee would have to fill out that are different than typical FMLA forms. That's something that's on my number one list to look at. But that is certainly something to do. And I think in those instances, and even in a non-coronavirus scenario, FMLA is very heavily regulated. And so I always ask people, if you're not sure, that's the perfect time to reach out to somebody to gain some support.
Okay, great. And the next question is, what will be the best approach to employees in the event of the government a government shutdown of non-essential businesses?
I think in that instance, people will, number one, they're, it goes back to the first slide, they're not alone, and they know everybody is going through that. I would recommend if the businesses are being shut down and you have no availability for at-home work. So let's break it into two categories. You know, there may be people that are on the team that could potentially work from home. And if that's the case, then obviously just setting them up for that. For the people that you can't, whether it's, you know, delivery or design or things of that nature, you have to ask yourself, financially, do you have the ability to maintain any of those individuals in some capacity? And if the answer to that is no, then what you unfortunately have to do is lay people off. And everybody will be in the same position. So part of what I always recommend to people is to really think about where someone may have or may not have monies coming in. And so unemployment is not always 100% of what they earn, but it's something. And so that really is important for them to be able to depend on. And again, that's a lot of that will depend on whether or not the business gives benefits or not.
Okay, great. Well, that looks like someone is just giving more of a statement of wisdom. You know, there's just saying the point made by you about taking your notes and everything, how do you improve what you've learned, what you will do differently is very wise, and it's how you as a business can survive. So thanks, Holly, for giving that note to us. The next one, it looks like we've covered all the questions. Glenna, any final notes that you wanted to give someone or anyone?
Absolutely. And first and foremost, I would say that I'm sorry that you and we are all going through this. And as difficult as it is, we know that we will get on the other side. And I hope to see you all very soon and to know that you have every opportunity, please, to reach out, because whatever I can do to help you, I really would welcome the opportunity to be able to help you be successful in the future, the present and the future. So thank you for this opportunity.
Great. Well, thanks, Glenna, so much for this great information. We really appreciate it. As Kate said earlier, we will be having a webinar on supply chain issues on Monday at 2 p.m. and then also on weddings and events on Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Be sure to check out safnow.org right there on our webpage to go ahead and register for both of those important webinars. Thank you, everyone, for participating, and have a great day.